Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
Three former government ministers in Antigua win their no-case submissions after being accused of embezzlement, conversion, and corruption. And more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup, coming right up. But first, a warning by concerned citizens who picketed the electoral office on Tuesday ahead of the Granby by-election today, Wednesday, that if their wishes to have DLP candidate Vince Henderson step down is ignored, they would take action to block the by-election. We are warning, we are serious, we will stop the by-election. There will be no by-election in Granby if Vince Henderson does not step down, spokesman Athi Mate and other protesters said. Their stand had preceded a letter asking the Electoral Commission to revisit the qualifications of DLP candidate Henderson. Henderson was alleged to be still holding his Dominica ambassador status on nomination day, said to be contrary to nominations regulations. Martin, while addressing the small gathering, disclosed that he had delivered to Chief Elections Officer Ian Michael Anthony a letter signed by four concerned citizens of Dominica, including himself, Martin, Judith Pestina, Dr. Irvin Pascal, and Loftus Durand. Athi Mate also indicated that they had written a letter to the chairman of the Electoral Commission, Duncan Stowe, to share with him their concerns about the legality of the nomination process leading up to the by-election. In Antigua, Justice Colin Williams has upheld the no-case submissions surrounding three government ministers. The three were accused of embezzlement, conversion, and corruption regarding the acquisition of three 2008 buses. Former government ministers Dr. Jackie Quinn, Harold Lovell, and Wilmoth Daniel have been accused by the state of converting and using the vehicles with more than $200,000 each for their personal use. It is the second time the former ministers have been freed of the charges surrounding the incident. On Tuesday, Observer Radio had more on the court decision.
We now have with us Latrishka Thomas, a reporter here at Observer Media, who will give us the latest. Latrishka, what can you tell us at this point?
I'm here at the High Court, where Justice Colin Williams would have just ruled in favor of the three former cabinet ministers. He actually spent over 2 hours dissecting all of the evidence that he would have received over the last 2 weeks. And in the end, the crux of it was that there was not enough evidence for the case to proceed. In relation to the charge of embezzlement, he said that although the words "in public service" were not included, it wasn't a fatal enough error. But he said enough evidence was not presented for that charge to continue. In relation to conversion and corruption, he said that the Crown did not offer enough evidence as to who really owned the three buses and did not fail to present any evidence as to how the buses were used improperly. Right after the verdict was announced, all of the family, friends, and supporters of these three ministers were outside cheering, congratulating them, and you could feel the camaraderie right outside. You would have had UPP supporters there as well, and I would have interviewed some of the ministers and some of the lawyers, and the main thing is that they're relieved that after so many years they finally have some sort of freedom. They said that their lives would have been interrupted for the past 7 years and they've failed to get jobs and so on because of this, but they're really happy about that. And Dr. Jackie Quinn in particular would have said that she intends to take some form of legal action against the government for prosecuting this matter. She believes it was a politically motivated, and so she plans to do something about that.
Former Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Sir James Fitzalan Mitchell, has died. The 90-year-old former Vincentian Prime Minister died at his home in Mount Pleasant, Bekwe, on Tuesday, surrounded by family members. Mitchell, who governed the Eastern Caribbean island from 1984 to 2000, fell ill on 31st October and was rushed from Bekwe to mainland St. Vincent for urgent medical care. Sir James was treated for an infection upon hospitalization at the Milton Keynote Memorial Hospital and was battling multiple medical conditions, including kidney failure and an enlarged prostate. He was later diagnosed with dengue fever. The 90-year-old former leader was flown to Barbados for advanced medical treatment on Wednesday, 3rd November. Later that evening, pneumonia was added to the list of medical complications Sir James was already battling. On Thursday, 4th November, Mitchell's son-in-law, Dwight Bing Joseph, said that the former Prime Minister was in stable condition. However, by Friday, 5th November, Sir James was requesting a famous song by Madonna, "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina." Joseph told News 784 on Monday, 8th November, that Sir James was still warded in the ICU and was joined by his four daughters and other family members. On 18th November, Sir James was discharged from the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and placed on 24-hour nursing care at home. Now to Guadeloupe and the ongoing protests there. French President Emmanuel Macron said this week that violence in Guadeloupe over COVID-19 restrictions had created a very explosive situation. His comment came as a general strike entered a second week on Monday and many stores remained shuttered after nighttime looting. Hours before Macron's prime minister and lawmakers from Guadeloupe were to hold crisis talks in Paris, there were signs of protests spreading to neighboring Martinique. Compulsory vaccination has touched a nerve in a population that is descended from slaves who worked on French sugar plantations and that during the 20th century were systematically exposed to toxic pesticides used in banana plantations. "We are descendants of slaves and for us control over our bodies is really important," said Pamela Obertan, 40, a political scientist in Guadeloupe who helped organize protests against vaccine requirements. She said, quote, "The government wants to impose a medical experiment. We are still medical experiments," end quote. Guadeloupe health workers had reportedly since July been protesting coronavirus vaccines mandates and writing letters to government officials without getting a response. Reuters reports that by November 15, some could no longer work because they had refused the vaccine.
"We've been protesting in the streets every Saturday for 4 months. For 4 months, strikes have been initiated, but no one has invited us to speak. The prefect would not speak with us. Elected officials would not speak with us. We have no answer to our demands. And the only answer the French state has given is to send soldiers and police here. That's how we're being treated in this country."
St. Lucia police have warned that crime bosses are luring vulnerable youth into crime. Here's NBC Prime News.
"When it comes to crime fighting, according to Commissioner of Police Milton Daisy, the police can't do it alone. Cooperation and assistance from the public can help crack cases and bring criminals to justice. St. Lucia's murder rate has escalated in recent years. A significant number of the killings are linked to gangs who often use lethal force to settle disputes. The street soldiers enlisting in gangs, the commissioner suggests, are identified by crime bosses looking to exploit vulnerable youth. A child from a poor home in an underserved community is an ideal recruit. A new pair of shoes, according to Commissioner Daisy, is enough to convince an at-risk youth to join a gang.
When a school, for example, when a child is not at school, we need to find out where is that child. These are the children or these are the people who grow up to be involved in these acts, because you have the criminals out there who recruit them and because of their vulnerability. Sometimes some kids may not have anything to go to school, but these persons become preys to the criminals by giving them fancy shoes and so on, which they accept, and they groom them into their activities. So I'm saying that all organizations, all responsible, the social services, we need to get together in the fight against."
Rehani Isidore, NBC Prime.
In Jamaica, a young man who tried to help put out fire started by arsonists shot to death. Eyewitnesses say that the thugs were using Molotov cocktails to touch two houses in the community. Residents say one house was unoccupied. CVM News reports.
Bloodstains on the ground serve as a chilling reminder of how one young man's good intentions led to his unjust demise. 20-year-old Darren Wright, who lived just off Spanish Town Road in Kingston, was presumably on his phone around 2 a.m. when he noticed fire. Springing into action, Wright alerted his mother of the blaze before rushing to help. As his mother puts it, that's just how he is. Thugs were using Molotov cocktails, more commonly called bottle booms, to torch two houses in the community. Residents say one house was unoccupied, but it's unclear if any occupant was in the other. Wright was reportedly shot in the neck and succumbed to his injuries. He's the last of three children. His sister says she's found it difficult to maintain her sanity since getting the call at 2:51 a.m. of her brother's death. Police were processing the scene when our news team arrived. It is speculated that the incident is as a result of ongoing gang violence. Wright was said to be heavily involved in social projects within the community and had hopes of joining the army. His mother says he was no troublemaker and was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. The matter is being investigated by the Hunts Bay Police. Janelle Powell, CVM Live.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, 24th November. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.